This Bible teaching is from Gateway Church Geelong. May it empower and equip you for the work of God's kingdom. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au. Be blessed.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's so good to be here with you today. If we haven't met before, my name is Bevan. It's such a great privilege to come around the Word with you all this morning. I'm going to start off by sharing a story, and that is that a couple of years ago, myself and my wife, Renu, had the privilege of moving into a brand new house. And anybody who's ever been able to do that before knows that it's an amazing time. It's incredible. And one morning, we got home from work and we checked the mail, and you know, you're expecting, you know, you've just moved into a brand new house. It's there. So, you're expecting congratulations, letters, introductions from the neighbors, maybe boxes of chocolates and things and plants for the house. This is what we were greeted with. To put it into perspective, the amount of water that went through our water meter covered 50% of the effective life of a water meter. It was a lot. So we were excited, but then we received this, and it's like everything feels like it's going to come crashing down. You know, a bill like that has the potential to rock your world. We were startled, but what we did was we turned to God, and we trusted in Him. We trusted the process. And the good news is that it ended up that our cost only ended up being, it was essentially nothing, just like what the service cost is for a water bill. But, you know, trusting in God, and it's a great testimony of His goodness for us that we didn't have to pay the $5,000 water bill. But, you know, over the next couple of weeks here at Gateway, we're going to be taking a look at a biblical approach to money and to finances with a two-part series called God, Money, and Me. Now, money can be a topic that I think we often avoid talking about. You know, we don't talk about it with our friends very often, unless they owe us money, maybe. But we don't talk about it in the church, outside of it. It can be a taboo topic. It's off limits. Now, why do you think that is? We'll get to that. You know, it can be something that we hold very close, and maybe it's because others don't talk about it. Maybe it's an area that we feel like we have all under control. Or maybe it's an area of our lives that brings insecurity, so we hold it very close to ourselves. Or maybe it's just simply something that our family's never talked about, so we don't talk about it as well. But if we look at the Bible often talks about money. It often talks about possessions. In fact, 16 of the 32 parables that Jesus shared in some way related to money and possessions, and there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that are in reference to money, possessions, finances. Now, that's more than the Bible talks about faith. Now, this isn't to say that money is the most important thing, because it certainly isn't, because our faith is central to who we are. It informs our actions, what we do. But it does speak to the importance of us having a biblical understanding of money, because it's an area of our lives where our faith is often outworked and tested the most. You know, maybe the prevalence of talking about money in the Bible could reinforce the thought that the church just wants your money. But it actually has a lot to do with us finding freedom from the control that money can have over us, our decisions, and our peace. You know, Jesus taught so often about money because it's an area of our lives that we can find ourselves so quickly entangled. You know, and the enemy would want nothing more than for us to just shut up and not talk about it. To stay quiet, to keep it hidden, allowing it to become something that quietly controls us. But when we bring it to the light, when we talk about it and allow God's purposes to breathe on it, it can actually carry great power, and it can carry great purpose for us. You know, you might have heard it talked about before that the Bible says that finances are a private matter. You know, there's a scripture that it's referenced from Matthew 6. It says, don't let your right hand know what the left is doing. You know, I think this can often be used to suggest that we shouldn't talk about money, that it's a private matter between us and God. But the heart of the passage isn't so much talking about being secretive about our finances, but making sure that our heart motivation isn't about giving to make ourselves look good, but giving and allowing God to move through our finances in obedience and truth. You know, in Mark 12, 41 to 44, the story about the widow's mite. You know, Jesus is sitting there watching the offering take place. Now, that doesn't sound very private to me. Can you imagine that today? It's like we strap a GoPro to the offering buckets and we put it on the screen. You know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. But the Bible's not so much talking about finances being private, but our finances not becoming a source of pride in our lives. You know, if I'm honest about myself, I think the times I haven't wanted to talk about money have been the times that maybe I've made poor decisions. You know, I've let money lead me, lead my decision making. And the times that I have really wanted to talk about it is because I want to feel good about what I've done with my money as well. You know, I think there's some balance for us to find here. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You know, God's desire is for us to walk in freedom in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. You know, when we talk today about finding freedom in our finances, I'm not talking about being debt-free or being immaterial, selling a house and living in a caravan or a tiny home. I'm not talking about that, but we're talking about learning to give God the spiritual authority that He deserves over our money. So through the next couple of weeks and into our Connect groups following, we're going to be taking a look at a God-informed view of money, what the Bible says, asking God for His perspective, and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So can we pray? Lord God, we thank You for this series that we're going on into. And we just pray that as we talk about money, that You would speak to us, that You would reveal truth. God, I just pray that we would have open hearts and open minds to receive what You would want to speak to us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, the first point is God has a plan for your finances. God has a plan for your finances. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all." You know, God is above all. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's the creator of all things, but He's also intricately involved and working within all things. You know, God cares so deeply about us as individuals, about the relationships that we have, about our health, about our spiritual growth, but He also cares deeply about our finances. You know, God's perfect plan and will for us doesn't all of a sudden stop when it comes to our money. You know, God's perfect plan for us extends to our money as well. You know, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "Many plans are in a man's mind, but is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand." You know, God's plan is greater than my own. It's God's plan and God's purpose for my life that will stand. And you know, it's in this understanding that we find the abundance and the freedom that God offers for us in every area of our lives, including our finances. You know, if we read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, if you've been in church for a while, you probably know it well. It's, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." You know, I see this verse as an invitation for us, an invitation for us to hear God's direction and guidance to us through His word and through the Holy Spirit, that we would lay down our own understanding and that we would seek God first in every area of our lives. You know, in this request of us to seek God, to trust in Him, it's not just a request, but it's a request that comes with a promise that by laying down our understanding, that by trusting in God and seeking Him, that He will show us which path to take, that He will give us direction, that He will give us wisdom. You know, by seeking God first, I can walk in God's perfect plan for my finances. You know, Philippians 4, verse 19 says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." You know, our God is a God of glorious riches. And because of our relationship with God through Jesus, God provides for us from it. You know, this is the lens that we look at our finances through. When we understand that all things come from God, that His will is higher than our own, it changes our perspective. It opens our eyes to God's perfect and glorious plan for us. You know, everything that I have comes from God. He is the beginning and the end. He's the creator of all things. You know, my life, my purpose, my gifts, and my finances. So this morning, know that God has a plan for your finances. The second point is that money itself is not good or evil. You know, you might have heard the thought before that money is evil. You know, that it's better to live without it. And the Bible does say it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. But this doesn't mean that there's anything inherently wrong with money. It's just that it's something that we need to talk about like we are now. It's something we need to seek to understand because it's easy for it to become a thing that leads us and a thing that leads us down the wrong path. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it puts it like this. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." You know, notice that it doesn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil. It says that the love of money is. Because money itself is not good nor evil. You know, you might have heard the scripture before that the power of life and death is in the tongue. The tongue itself is not good or evil, but the tongue has the power to be incredibly uplifting, to speak faith, to breathe life, to bring encouragement, to declare the good news, but it also has the power to cause great harm, to tear down and to speak death. You know, if we think about money in a similar way, it can be something that holds us captive, this leads us away from God's purposes and promises for our lives. But it can also be a resource that God uses to release the kingdom of God and to provide for our purposes, to provide for God's purposes for our lives. You know, ultimate financial freedom begins at the point where God has full authority in our material world. Where God has full authority in our material world. You know, the question is, who is leading me? Who or what is leading my financial decisions? So we read about the love of money, but what is the antidote to it? The greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12 provides us an antidote for the love of money, getting our priorities in the correct order. Mark chapter 12 verse 30 says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." You know, when we give our all to God, when we seek Him first, it doesn't allow for anything or anyone else to take His place. You know, if I all of a sudden came across a sum of money, what's the first thing that I do? Where do I turn to first? You know, do I turn to God, who is the ultimate authority? Seek His wisdom and guidance? Or do I allow my own understanding, my own personal desires and wants to lead and guide me? Because when it comes to our money, you know, money is a great servant, but it's a bad master. You know, money is a great servant, but a bad master. You know, money outworked through God's purposes can extend His kingdom. It can bring abundant life to us. You know, where we partner with God, with our finances, it's essential to seeing God's purposes fulfilled in our lives. But when we make decisions that result in us serving money, we're putting our trust in something that isn't worthy of our trust. You know, nothing except for God is worthy of our trust. You know, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment." You know, God is worthy of our trust. God alone is worthy of our trust. You know, our money isn't, our material possessions aren't. You know, it can be gone in an instant. But God remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So a question for us today is, am I serving God or am I serving money? You know, it seems a relatively straightforward question, but let's dig a little deeper today. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." You know, that verse starts with "no one." You know, I'm not the exception to this. This is something that applies to all of us. God's speaking to all of us today. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. You know, in the original language, the word for money in this passage is derived from the word mammon. You probably haven't heard it before because it's not English. But mammon refers to unsurrendered money. You know, money that's empowered by us to draw it away from God. You know, it's money and material things that sit outside of God's authority in our lives. You know, it represents the personification of our inward overcoming desire to pursue money, to pursue wealth, to pursue material things that satisfy our souls, that satisfy the cravings that we have, the greed, selfish desire. You know, there's a little bit of it in all of us. It's in us because of our sinful nature. It's in our human nature. But we know that as followers of Jesus, that we're all on a journey of putting off our old self, our sinful nature, and stepping into the new, God's nature for us, God's character. And as we pursue that, we become more like Jesus. You know, it says it in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." You know, the old nature might have been in us. We might have learnt it. We might have learnt from it, but our salvation empowers us to live a new life. You know, God's Spirit in us empowers us to live a new life. But notice in this scripture, there's an action, throwing off the old self. You know, it's active. We are active participants in this, of choosing God's ways, of choosing His best for our lives. You know, serving God and serving mammon are at complete odds with each other. You know, they're completely contrary to each other. You know, mammon calls us self-made, self-earned, and self-deserving, all deserving. But serving God understands that all things come from Him. You know, mammon says it's my resources, it's my wealth, I'll do whatever I want with it. Understanding God as provider says it's best in your hands. It's best in your guidance, in your wisdom. You know, mammon says, "I want it now, and I'm going to come up with a way to make it happen." You know, serving God says it's all in God's timing. Yeah. You know, "I put my trust in you, and I'll be a good steward of what you've given to me." You know, mammon says, "I want it now," but godly wisdom exercises patience. You know, I know this is a lot, but I don't want it to be a heavy thing for us to carry today. You know, because the truth is that we're wired for mammon. The world around us has us wired for instant gratification, for the here and now. You know, I think back over my life and, you know, I was probably 10 years old and I wanted a PlayStation 2. Anyone else ever wanted a PlayStation 2? Just me? Okay. And the good thing is that my birthday is on October 3rd. Write that down if you're taking notes. And the good thing about having a birthday in October is that it's close enough to Christmas that you can wheel and deal your parents. Be like, Mum and Dad, I know that a PlayStation's definitely not in the budget, but what if we do a deal? What if it's my birthday and my Christmas present? Yeah, and you know, it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. But these things that seem rather innocent provide a doorway of entry for mammon, for the instant gratification. You know, there's things in our world now like Afterpay, like interest-free deals, that are not evils in and of themselves. But what they do is they feed into our fleshly desires of wanting something, even if it's out of reach. What was perhaps once an inkling thought of maybe one day I'd like to get a PlayStation 2 becomes a possibility. You know, we're resourced by the world in a way that allows us to live outside of our capacity and not in a way where we put our full trust and the spiritual authority of our money on God. And you know, if this resonates with you, if any of this resonates with you, can I encourage you that together, that we're going on a journey of being renewed, you know, allowing this nature to be replaced by our new nature, letting the Spirit of God renew our thoughts and attitudes. And that happens by giving God the authority over these areas in our lives. You know, what does that look like? It means that it's simple. When faced with a financial decision, pray about it first. Seek wise counsel before making a decision. Follow biblical principles and be kingdom-minded. You know, Galatians 5:17 says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. You know, when we lean into God and His truth, when we give Him the authority, His Spirit begins to lead us. He gives us desires that are opposite to mammon, that are opposite to our sinful nature, and we can take steps toward the freedom that He has for us. Now, the third point today is that godly wisdom stands in both faith and stewardship. You know, you can't have one without the other. You know, we can't be all faith with no stewardship, and we can't be all stewardship without faith. You know, I think sometimes in church when we are seeking financial breakthrough, our immediate response can be that we give more and more. We give more and more. But financial breakthrough is not found in giving more and more and just increasing our generosity, because we don't give to receive. Now, financial breakthrough is found in giving spiritual authority to God. You know, John Wesley, the British theologian, he said, you need to earn all you can, you need to save all you can, and you need to give all you can. You know, what an interesting statement, but I think it captures the heart of standing in both faith and stewardship. Now let's go back to the beginning in Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 27 to 28. It says, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. You know, this rings true for us today. God is saying to us that we are created to be fruitful and multiply. You know, that's God's plan for us, that we would be fruitful. And I think sometimes we look at this and we cross out the material things, but this isn't immaterial. You know, God has given the ability for us to steward resources, to tend them well, and to bring multiplication. You know, it's an active thing that we do because fruitfulness requires action. You know, God has given us the ability to generate resources. You know, God does not get wealth from us. He empowers us to get wealth. You know, it's not because I have a job, therefore God is my provider. It's as a result of God being my provider that He gives me skills and abilities to earn a living. You know, God provides us with the ability to find resource. You know, we might be believing for financial breakthrough and, you know, sitting on the couch and waiting for the check to come in the mail, you're probably not going to find it there. You know, just because it's in the unknown doesn't mean that's the only way it can be miraculous. You know, it can be miraculous in your very own hands. It can be miraculous in your obedience to God. You know, I think there's three mistakes that we can make in our understanding of God's provision for us. The first is that maybe we receive a promise from God. We receive something from God that He gives to us to steward well, and we do nothing with it. Now, if you haven't read it before, you can read the parable of the talents that talks about using what is in our hand. And maybe we do this because we feel like the resources that we have are insufficient for what God is calling us to do. You know, the second is that we take a promise from God and we try all in our own might and ability to make it happen. Where, as we read in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, that we're meant to trust in the Lord, our God, and lean not on our own understanding. And the third is that, you know, we take a personal desire, something that we really, really want, and we ask God to provide for it. You know, if we're believing for God to provide us with employment, you know, if you're believing God for a breakthrough in your employment, we won't find it by sitting and waiting for it to happen, waiting for a job offer to come knocking on our door. You know, job offers can't walk. They don't have legs. But maybe we will find it by putting our faith to action, to stewarding what God has given to us and knocking on some doors ourselves. This is godly stewardship, understanding that God has given us the ability to see His provision in our lives. You know, and not in the unknown, in the miraculous, but with us as the instrument of His provision. It's found by giving Him the spiritual authority, surrendering our material things to Him. And it's in the understanding of both faith and stewardship that we can see God's provision. So God has a plan for your finances. Money itself is not good or evil. Godly wisdom stands in both faith and stewardship. But ultimately, this morning, we either serve money or it serves our God purposes. You know, it's my heart today that for each of us, that we would walk in the freedom that God offers us. You know, free from the control of money. You know, this question for us, do I serve money or does it serve me? And you know, maybe our immediate answer is no, like I've got this under control. But a question that I read recently that resonated with me was, how often in your life have you made decisions solely based on your financial situation? You know, whether it's God calling you to something and finances is the limiting factor. Maybe it's that you really, really need to go to the doctor or the dentist. Anyone? But we put it off because of the financial situation. Maybe it's we really need a holiday, but we don't make it happen because we don't think we can afford it. You know, the myth here is the thought of, if only I had, then I could. the if only I had, then I could, where, you know, if God's calling us to it, if God's calling us to the then I could, then we need to believe him for his provision to see it happen. You know, maybe there's something that God's spoken to you about that we've chosen not to pursue because we don't feel like we have the material resources in place. Well, this morning, there's freedom from that for us, that we'd be able to step toward and step into all that God has for us in faith and in stewardship. Because do I see God's promises for my life through the lens of the resources that are currently in my hand, or do I see it through the lens of my God, who is the ultimate supplier? You know, God is the creator of all. He has an infinite supply. But we often limit our God purposes. We often limit God's plans for our lives based on the resources that we have right now. Now, can I encourage you that this year, as we're stepping out in faith and believing to see the unseen, you know, if we're believing to see the supernatural, we also have to believe for God's supernatural provision for each of us, that God would cause us to take what's in our hand and see his provision. Because we cannot afford to allow material circumstances to control God's purposes for our lives. You know, we serve a God who is a God of abundance, and his desire for each of us is that we would partner our faith and our stewardship together to be people who understand that God is in control, choosing to walk toward freedom in the area of finances. You know, where does this start? It starts by us surrendering it to God. Surrendering all that he's given us back to him and saying, God, would you lead? God, I don't want to lead anymore. God, I want you to lead. Giving him control and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us to bring wisdom, to bring guidance, and to bring trust. Now, this morning, if you're believing for breakthrough in your personal finances, breakthrough in your money, can we ask God that he would open our eyes to pathways for us, that we would see the unseen, that even when it doesn't seem possible, that God would reveal it to us. Now, we can ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what is the pathway that I need to walk? Now, if you don't know what the pathway that you need to walk is, that's okay. Because we can ask the Holy Spirit. We can seek wise counsel. You know, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, I want to encourage you that you're not the only person that's walked it. You know, there's other people that have been where you are. And the encouragement is that there's a way out, that God provides us a way out. So don't go it alone. Don't go it alone. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left to share with others. God will generously provide for us when we give him the authority, when we give him the spiritual authority over our material things. So in response today, for us to walk in freedom from the control of money, to walk in God's freedom for us, it's understanding that God has a plan for our finances and allowing his purposes to flow through us in the way that we outwork it. You know, freedom isn't found in us being free to do whatever we want, but being free from the control of money by surrendering it to God and his perfect plan. Because ultimate financial freedom begins at the point where God has full authority in our material world. So just as we come to the end today, can I invite you to close your eyes just where you are? Because I just want to give each of us an opportunity to respond to this. You know, if this is an area that you've struggled with or you're currently struggling with, know that God has freedom for you. That we're not meant to be bound by the situations that we find ourselves in. We're not meant to be bound by our human nature, but we're meant to walk in the freedom that God has for us. So I want to give you an opportunity to respond today, to say, God, I put you in control. God, I give you the authority. God, I seek you first. God, I thank you that you have a perfect plan for each of us. God, and I pray that in this moment, God, we give you control. God, we give you the authority that you deserve. God, we choose that we will seek you first in every area, including our finances. God, for those of us who are seeking breakthrough in the area of finances, God, I pray right now that you would reveal pathways to us. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us insight in what our next steps are. And God, we come against mammon on every person, and we speak freedom right now. We come against any feelings of greed, any feelings of selfishness. God, we come against pride and we speak freedom right now, that we would walk from this place free, that we wouldn't walk from this place bound. The chains that once held us no longer hold any power because we are free. God, we give you all of this authority. God, and we step into your freedom.
Amen. Amen. Well, what a amazing first message. If today's your first day at church, welcome to church. This is the first time that we've done this series, and it's been stirring my heart for 12 months to see every single one of us step into the freedom that God has for us. I want to encourage you, if you're feeling agitated by today's message, praise God. Praise God. Because it's God putting his finger and saying, hey, I want to set you free in this area. I don't want another generation to go and repeat what's happened before. You know, I understand that vulnerability around decisions that have been made and stewardship that maybe wasn't quite as good as what it could have been, it can be quite confronting and challenging. It's okay. Don't carry the shame. Don't carry the condemnation. God has a purpose and will for you, as Bevan's already talked about. For those of you who are thinking, oh my, are they preaching a prosperity gospel? Absolutely not. Absolutely. We are teaching the ways of God from the scriptures. And it's imperative that as pastors, for those of you who didn't see the video message I sent through, it's important for us to present the ways of the scriptures, the ways of God to the church so that we can grow and be free. This is about learning God's ways, breaking earthly shackles of the spirit of money. It's about unlearning what you haven't yet been taught. Doesn't quite make sense, but it does, right? There's things that we haven't been taught. We didn't get taught by parents. They did the very best they could, but they hadn't received this teaching yet. We're unlearning what we haven't been taught. We want to learn the ways of Jesus. Amen. Generational breakthroughs are coming for you and your family. I prophesied generational breakthroughs are coming for you and your family. We truly believe that we are going to learn to commit our decisions to Christ. I say it one more time. If you've made decisions in the past, if you've committed to things that you didn't talk about, you didn't pray about, you didn't go to your wife, you didn't go to your husband. I was joking with Bevan. It's like, you know, I accidentally signed up for a $50,000 Ducati and didn't ask my wife about it. You may have done things similar to that, maybe smaller, maybe bigger. God is going to help you come to a place where you walk back from those things and put things into his will. Amen? Amen. I want to encourage you, just as we come towards the end of the service, we're going to have some fellowship, coffee, tea, spend some time together. True freedom starts with Jesus. And many people in this room right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. True freedom starts with Jesus. And you heard from Pastor Phil during communion that Jesus went to the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. Why? For the forgiveness of our sins, so that we would not be bound by the grip of sin any longer, so that we could have a personal relationship with God. You know, Romans 10:13 says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's why God sent Jesus, so we could call on his name, be forgiven of our sin. Jesus paid the price for that. And we can come into perfect relationship with God. We become a new creation, as we've already heard this morning. I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus personally, if you haven't been forgiven of your sin, if you're living separate to him, been living your own life, and maybe you found yourself in a place where it's like, I can't do this life anymore. I need to be known by God. I need to know God personally. I want to give all of us the opportunity to respond to that today and call on the name of Jesus to be saved. Maybe if we could just close our eyes for a moment. This isn't a moment where I want to embarrass anyone, but I want to make sure that every single one of us have the opportunity to respond to salvation, to know Jesus personally. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus before. Maybe you've been off walking on your own, doing your own thing. You knew him once, but you've just gone and said, I'm just going to try my way in the world. And you found that it hasn't been working out for you. I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus today. And if that's you, with everyone's eyes closed for just a moment, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and then put it back down. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down the front. This is between you and God, to be forgiven and know him personally. And if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to put your hand up. You can pop it straight back down. Is there anyone that's like, I need to know Jesus today? One, two, three. Anyone? Awesome. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Anyone else? So today's my day of knowing Jesus personally. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made whole. I want the new life that Jesus has me. Is there anyone else to say, yes, that is me? If you're online today, this is for you too. This is your moment to respond to Jesus. And this is what we're going to do today. We're going to pray a prayer. And maybe you're right on the edge of putting your hand up or this morning. I want to encourage you, let's not worry about the hands going up this morning. God's not interested in your hand. He's interested in your heart. He loves you so much. That's why he sent Jesus. And so you haven't put your hand up yet. You pray this prayer. This is about calling on the name of the Lord so that you will be saved. If that's you today, pray that prayer with us as well. Church, let's pray this out loud. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross, you went to the grave, and God raised you on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I repent of my sin. I turn from my ways and turn towards you. From this day on, you are Lord of my life, and I choose to follow you always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Heaven rejoices now. You prayed that prayer. Come on. Heaven rejoices that you have now come back into relationship with God. You are now part of the kingdom of God. You're not on your own. In the kingdom of God, we are brothers and sisters, family brought together by God himself. It's worth celebrating. It's worth being happy about. You know, maybe you've just been in this moment where you're feeling condemned and shamed. That no longer exists. Step out of it and step into his glorious light. Amen. God's a good God.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.